nationwide. We bring you latest current issues, discussions and information. Nationwide on Radio Miraya.
Hello, welcome listeners to Nationwide program on Radio Miraya with me, Gabriel Shadar. And we are having now our discussion time, and today we are focusing on a very important topic and issue also, and that issue is related to the oil industry in South Sudan. And since the oil industry started in South Sudan years ago, a lot of reports have been coming out that the oil producing areas are suffering from pollution, and we had a number of cases that were reported both from NGOs and also from the local communities, that there were deformed births, there were animals dying, there were areas that were suffering leakages and pollution, and even water sources have been polluted. And despite that, we have never seen a serious action taking place, as it has been reported by many people. And then this issue has been tackled by many, but still no clear solution has been reached. Now, another twist has happened today, that a legal firm has petitioned, has made a petition against the oil-producing companies in the country, especially those working in Ruweng State and Ruweng area in particular, that this area has suffered a lot of pollution, and they are calling the three companies to come to court and address that issue. So with me in the studio are the people who will be speaking about this issue and how, why they are petitioning. So we will be looking at tackling oil pollution in the oil producing areas, with focus on the legal action that has been taken today by the people who are with me here in the studio. With me in the studio is Mr. Tejid Adwood. Tejid Adwood is a former governor of Ruweng State, is a former MP and a former judge, and he is the first petitioner in the case. Welcome, Tejid Adwood.
Thank you.
And also with me in the studio is Peter Ayee, the executive director of Advocates Without Borders. He's the second petitioner. Welcome, Peter.
Thank you.
And Philip Anyang is the advocate representing the petitioners. Welcome, Philip.
Thank you so much.
You seem to be taking all the hot cases in the country or
really,
in the town.
Not really.
Yeah. And so let me start with a quick brief about the nature of the problem in Ruweng State, and that is to be made in few minutes by the first petitioner, Tejid Adwood. ممكن تكلمنا شوية عن خلفية هذا النزاع وهذه المشكلة بالنسبة للتلوث البيئي والتلوث الحاصل للحياة عامة في بعض مناطق إنتاج النفط في منطقة روينغ.
شكرا جوبريل جوزيف شدار للفرصة. أول حاجة حصل عملية بتاع تنقيب بتاع بترول في روينغ من عام 1999 وشركة كان شغال في مجال التنقيب هو شركة جيبوك. جيبوك هو قاعد يتكون من أربع شركات. الشركة الأولى ياو CNPC which is China National Petroleum Corporation. أسهم بتاعو 40%. الشركة نمبر اثنين ده شركة بتروناس هو شركة ماليزية عنده 30% كأسهم. الشركة التالتة ده ONGC شركة هندية أسهم حقه 25%. الشركة الرابعة ده نايلبيد شركة وطنية وأسهم حقه نسبة 5%. سو بالاختصار مما حصل عملية بتاع تنقيب البترول في روينغ من سنة 99 ما في قواعد بتاع حماية وما في قواعد بتاع أمانة أو سيفتي الشركة ده عمله, بس شغالين تنقيب وبشيلوا بترول نتيجة لغياب بتاع safety requirements حصل تلوث. سنة الفات حصل انفجار في الأنابيب وغطى مساحة كبير جدا. سنة دا حصل انفجار وبعد جاء اكتشفوا إلا بعد شهر مما بترول دفق. تلوث في المياه، حصل تلوث في الأرض، حصل تلوث للإنسان بتاع المنطقة، ونتيجة بتاع تلوث نسبة النمو بتاع الحشائش في المنطقة قاعد يقل. يعني زمان كان زرع طوله بيكون كبير هسي قصير. يال مولودين مشوهين في كيسيس جانا بيلودو بمور طوالي وفي دي ريزن كيس الحسي الناس في المنطقة يتكاتفوا ده جانا دولت سنة الفات جابوا جوبا هنا ومن جوبا ودو نيروبي ومن نيروبي هو في ألمانيا حاليا جانا ده يعني مولود مشوه أكيد حتى ولو هاي بكون abnormal. فالشركات بتاعت بترول especially جوبك جيبوك ما شغال لخدمة بتاع إنسان المنطقة، بس هم الأول إنه يشيل بترول. فده وباء وكارثة محتاج إنه يكون في تدخل سريع. والتلوث كله ده انتهاك لحقوق بتاع إنسان المنطقة، خاصة حق الحياة وحق الصحة. يعني إنسان لو بياكل أكل ما نظيف حياة بتاعه بكون أقل بمود. زول لو ما قاعد في clean environment فوق موية كويس فوق أكل كويس حياة بتاعك بكون قصير. So الحاصل في روين ده وباء وده ما روين براو. كل المناطق المنتجة للبترول كان في شمال على النيل في فلوج في مشاكل زيادة، في لج الشمالية في ترجاز في مشاكل زيادة، أمس في جانا دولت في ترجاز مشاوة. فببساطة دل الخلفية بسيطة أن الأزمة أو الكارثة أو الوباء الحاصل في روين. شكرا
أستاذ تجد الدوت. Now it's clear that since 1999 oil producing companies, the four companies CNPC and Petronas and ONGC and Nilepet have been producing oil in this area, but as you are saying, there has been little protection measures for the safety of the population. Then water, the soil and human beings have been affected. We have deformities in the birds, and also the latest case of a child that has been taken for medication. Up to now he's been deformed, the child has been deformed and is still having treatments in Germany. And also the latest information was saying that all the oil producing areas are having the same and similar problems that have been taking place in Ruang Estate. Now let us come to the second petitioner, executive director of Advocates Without Borders. You have decided, I think there was a point of thinking in which you said we had better go to court. Why?
Yeah, thank you, Gabriel Shadar, for this opportunity. First of all, I would like to say my name is Peter Aye, the Executive Director, Advocate Without Borders, is a national human rights organization. We are actually running a pro bono legal service in South Sudan, or let me say the 10 states, now 32 states. Mm-hmm. What we do is to speak on behalf of people who cannot speak for themselves. And we usually take public interest cases. And basically, human rights issues. We actually decided to, as a human rights organization, to advocate for the voiceless. In this case, the Ruwen state. The reason why we went to court, and especially to the Constitutional Court, is the Constitutional Court is the forum mandated by law to uphold, protect the Bill of Rights as stipulated in the Constitution. So there has been a lot of violation of human rights, and nobody has been talking about them since 1999. And I think it was before South Sudan was born. We are asking the court not only to pay or not only to stop the oil producing areas from continuing violating the right of the people in Ruwen state. It has just been mentioned there are a lot of rights being violated, the right to clean environment, the right to life, because children now are being born deformed, and environmental rights. We are also saying that the government and the stakeholder in the oil production should pay compensation to the affected areas. In the Constitution, there is provision in which the oil producing companies are supposed to pay a certain percentage to the local communities. That has not been done since 1999. Now, the responsibility in the government of South Sudan took over in 1995. We are saying that the 2% and 3% should be calculated and paid to the communities as stipulated in the Constitution. They are also to compel this company to stop this careless exploration and production of oil without regard to the life of the people in the area. The production or exploration of the oil has displaced millions of people. It is not only this war which is displacing. Even the oil companies are displacing people. People are rendered poor while the wealth in the nation is reduced in their area. They should actually, according to, and I'm sure in the contract which they are going to be compelled to produce, we will see what are the roles as provided in the Constitution and also in the Petroleum Act. This is very clear, in which the government should, the company should disclose all the plans. And in particular, there has been no development in the area. Is the oil the only thing that people want, and they don't want people there? That is why we went to the court, because this is the court that will protect and is obliged to observe the provision of the Constitution. So our interest is that we need a constitutional rule and the rule of law. So the respondent are the GPOC, the Minister of Petroleum, and the NILPET.
Yeah, three entities.
Three entities. Are responsible for the oil production in Ruwen state.
Yeah. Let me come now to the advocate representing the petitioners, Philip Anyang. You have taken this to the Constitutional Court. What is the procedure you followed?
Okay, thank you so much, Gabriel. I think you've heard much from the petitioner themselves, the first petitioner, the second petitioner. Purely is an issue of human rights, and as provided by the Constitution, the Transitional Constitution of the Republic of South Sudan, 2011, that any issues of human rights, any matter of human rights, the only court and institution that can entertain it is the Supreme Court of this country, which is the Constitutional Court. You've had the grievances, you've had the challenges, you've had the violations, and you've had the level of suffering of people on the ground. And this is the biggest component of why we sought the intervention of the court. We know very well the aligned ministries involved, which is the Ministry of Petroleum, Nile Petroleum itself, And of course, if you go further government institutions that are supposed to look into compliance and observance and protection of the population, the environment itself, these have not been done. You've heard it dates back to 1999. And if you take an example of the Southern Sudan and the South Sudan 2011, 2005 now, you've seen the level of violations that have been ongoing, children being born deformed, early birth, and things like environmental pollution that is ongoing. People who are farming cannot farm now. The animals that are, people are keeping animals now, not doing that because of the environment is not viable for sustainable of such. And the loss of life, as you've seen in the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the right to life is a constitutional right. It's not something that can be given by anyone. It's not something that you can buy from the market or something that you can be given by anyone. Mm. It's a constitutionally guaranteed right. A right to a clean environment is something that's also guaranteed by the Constitution. And basically, these rights here can only be interpreted and guaranteed by the highest court, which is the Supreme Court of this country. We've seen the intervention being done, but nothing much is ongoing. You've seen recently there's been a lot of spillage in the oil fields, especially Ruwen, and nothing has been done as we speak now. The population, the people within the area, and the inhabitants of that area, some people have been displaced, and most of the guys who are affected now because of the level of spillage are in dire need of help. That is not being done by what would have been done by the line institutions. So at this level, whoever is aggrieved, whoever is not finding any solution from any person that they expect to, seeks the hands of the law. And that is the reason the first petition, the second petition, have sought the hands of the law, which is the Supreme Court. The petition lies in the Supreme Court, whereby the court itself is supposed to determine it, summon the institutions concerned. And once we get the response on the same, the prayers of the petitioners are very clear. They are compelling the first respondent, the Minister of Petroleum, to take up its role as provided by the Constitution and the Petroleum Act 2012. Nile Pet also, as a stakeholder, has not been doing enough, because you've seen if people are complaining on the ground and nothing is being done, it so brings in the question of who should do what here. And the third respondent, which is a company that's producing oil in the oil field, there's an obligation of ensuring that safety and management plans are put in place. These things are discussed and well placed within by the government before a company gets to the ground. If a company is operating purely interested in the oil and not interested in the livelihood of people, the surrounding population, and then there's a big question here that who protects who here. So as we speak of the petition currently at the Supreme Court, we're not stopping there, because these violations here may continue for the next 100 years, but they must be stopped. And the petitioners, we're seeking that this company here, the license itself, be suspended until they put measures in place to ensure that the life and life of people around there is safeguarded. We're ensuring that the victims, the persons displaced, and the first persons affected here be compensated. And the petitioners are asking for $500 million. This is a dire level of compensation being sought by the victims. Another thing is that we're asking the line institution, the Minister of Petroleum and Nilepet itself, that they be compelled to do what they should do under the law. And this is where we've asked the Supreme Court that these persons here be brought before the law. So basically, that is where we are now, and we're still arguing that it's a concern that is growing over and over again in most oil-producing states. And if nothing is being done by the institution, by the law, and then it will be too late for us to talk of South Sudanese at some point, because mm-hmm. the impacts of oil pollution, the impacts of oil spillage, are long term. They're not just one day that comes in and stops. It's something that affects the environment for years. It affects the livelihoods for years. It affects the people for years. And if this thing continues, children being born deformed, children being born and passes on, environment continue to be polluted, you are sure that people are really suffering. And that is why we are here today. Thank you. Thanks
for this. It's interesting that you also clarified that you need action to be taken to stop this spillage and this random exploration that is resulting in the pollution. Also, you've made it clear now that the compensation that you asked for is $500 million for the displaced people and those who have been affected. Now, I have been reading a lot about this, and even a lot of reports coming out. Even we had a report coming out this month in January, very long one. But when people try in those reports to speak to the companies and speak to the government, there seems to be always a denial that this thing is not there, it's not in that big scale and so forth. Now, that brings the question of how much evidence will you bring to the court on this issue?
Thank you so much. Just to mention that this is our case, and you know, once you take up a matter, it's based on an established case. You've heard that many reports that are coming on and people end up denying them. This is something that will be argued in court, because you'll come and deny in court now. It's not a press conference as usual,
yeah.
Or it's not a press statement as you've been doing. People have been doing it. You wake up here and say, yes, nothing has been ongoing. Things are okay. You'll come and tell the Supreme Court now that, yes, there's no pollution ongoing on the ground. And, of course, the case takes off from there. So, mm-hmm. Basically, there's enough evidence on the ground, and much can be adduced to prove and confirm that the violation on the ground are sustainable.
Yeah, and now you have brought the case. Let me go to Peter Ye. You have brought the case. Let's see how it was accepted today. Was it accepted? Like what do you call it, Shakla Nomad Monan, in form and content?
Yeah, actually, as petitioners, we were accompanying our lawyer, and the petition was presented, and it was received by the Deputy Chief Justice as usual. Of course, legally, you don't refuse a document, a petition. Mm. You receive it, and refusal will be written.
Mm.
So it was normally received and registered.
How hopeful are you that this thing will not be rejected?
You know, we have confidence in our constitutional court, because that is why they are there. So the issue of how confident am I is that I believe, based on the written law, and that is the constitution, and this is their power. Mm. If they don't do it, that means they are not judiciary. And if they are judiciary, then they will have to act on it. So currently, for now, unless the thing is changed, but otherwise, legally, it is received, and every party to the case is allowed to present their case. So I hope that we will be allowed to present the evidence and actually lead our case.
Yeah.
So I'm confident that our constitution, this is the highest constitution, court in the land, and is supposed to discharge their duty as usual.
Yeah, and of course, Philip, you are more aware than myself that this is going to be a very long process, and it's going to be the process of proving this or denying that is going to be long. Some of these things are purely medical and scientific in nature.
Yeah, thank you so much. What happens is, in as far as we know, the process is very long. We have filed an oral application also, that certificate of urgency, that this matter is very urgent, because there are people that are being affected, they've been affected and suffering now as a result of the activities of the third respondent. Talking of medical process, of course, as the case goes on, there are stages of now, where the case is taking the stage of a panel will be formed, a three-member panel that will look at the merits of the case. And then from then now, a full panel of nine justices of the Supreme Court will come in. So in the process here, every other stage leads the other. So, and we're very confident that with the tracking, with the records we have, we are sure that this is a case that will be sustained at the Supreme Court, and we get the deserved orders and prayers we've sought from the court.
Tajid Adot, the question now comes to you as the first petitioner. The first question is, why you are singling out Ruweng area instead of having a broader collision of all the communities that are being affected?
Shukran Joseph Shadar lil fursa maratan ukhra. Taban ana mwatan junubi min Ruweng u indi huguk في دستور بتاعنا الانتقالي، فعلى ضوء دستور أنا وأدفوكت ويزود بوردرز قدمنا البتيشن ده في روين كأول تجربة ممارسة أمام المحكمة الأولى لجنوب السودان. وانا على قناة تام كل المناطق المنتجة للبترول في جنوب السودان هتخطو نفس الخطوات الخطيناو من يوم الجمعة واليوم أمام المحكمة الأولية. فالأولية لروين لأنه نسبة التلوث عالي جدا فالقضية ده هي قضية عاجلة عشان كده خصصناه لروين، لكن ده لا يعني أنه بعض المناطق هتخطو نفس الخطوة.
No. Now we will be going to the listeners. We will hear their comments also on some of their questions. And if you want to participate in the discussion, you can send your SMS to the line 09-2969-3205. You can call on the line 09-1206-2950 and also 09-1206-2079. And also you can call the MTN lines 09-2190-2950 and also 09-2190-2079, and I will be taking your calls and also your comments. And I would like you to be brief and also tell us where your name and where you're calling from. And with me in the studio here, as I should remind the listeners, is Tejid Adwod, former governor of Ruweng Estate, former MP and former judge, is the first petitioner. And Peter Ayay, Executive Director of Advocates Without Borders, is second petitioner, and Philip Anyang, advocate representing the petitioners. And the issue is about tackling the oil pollution in the oil producing areas in Ruweng Estate, and we are speaking about the legal actions they have taken. They have petitioned the Constitutional Court, and also they are calling on three entities to come and answer questions about pollution. They are asking for compensation and also for action to be taken against the pollution that has been taking place. And I'll be picking your calls.
101 FM Radio Miraya, powered by the people, uniting the nation. Your preferred station, the voice of peace.
No one like you, one
Radio
like
Miraya,
you,
Miraya.
No one like you, one like you.
Nationwide, your daily current affairs program on Radio Miraya.
The first question comes from Mading Malwal Alwang from Central Upper Nile State in Malakali. Says he's asking whether the 2% of the oil revenue is being paid regularly, and if that will be included in the petition. That is the only SMS I've seen here, but let me pick the callers. Hello. Hello.
Hello?
Yes, welcome.
Yes, Gabriel Chadar.
Yes, welcome. Abur Alat from Rumbek. Welcome.
How are you, my brother? And good evening to you and good evening to the government.
Yeah, just go ahead, Abur. Yes.
Yeah, thank you, Gabriel Chadar, for the nice program you brought out this evening.
Thank you.
Actually, some years back, one of the organizations wrote an article concerning the effect of pollution to the resident at the particular place where the oil field is. Mm-hmm. But my question is to the guys in the studio, how confident are you when you are going to implement the thing that you are discussing on this issue? Because the other thing, when the NGO wrote an article on this effect of the oil to the people at the particular place, that NGO was being taken away by the government. Okay. But I don't know what will happen to what you are saying now.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Abur Alat, for that question. Hello?
Sadar.
Yes, welcome. Who's calling?
You are talking to Garang Malongdeng from Pantau.
Welcome, Garang.
Yeah, thank you. What I need to know from them is that I don't know whether they have a person already or they don't have.
Which
that is what I want to know. Either they have percent already which had been designed for them by the government and they are received money for compensation, or they don't have.
Percentage,
two.
You mean? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Garang. I've lost Garang online there. Sorry for that. Hello? Hello?
Good evening.
Yes, good evening.
Lawrence Radu from Munuki.
Welcome, Lawrence.
Thank you, please. I appreciate the topic, plus the guest list here. You know, I really accorded with you. The book that you have taken is really a logical one. You know, our people are suffering. Meanwhile, even they are not getting what they are supposed to receive. The only thing that I would like to advise you also, to be strong in your position. Then, now to them, you know, it seems like those are the companies, but I would like to know, are those companies there by their own, they were set by the government?
Okay. Okay.
That's my question to them.
Okay. Okay. Thank you, Lawrence, from Munuki. Hello.
Good evening, Brother Gabriel Cheda.
Welcome, Maoya. Welcome.
Yeah. Thank you so much for this beautiful topic. My question will go directly to the guest there in the studio. Does the state government have a chance, have a way to evaluate any policy drafted by between the oil company and the national and the national ministry of petroleum in here in national government? For example, if there is a foreign company come who want to go and invest in the oil company in the state,
okay,
maybe they can make agreement with the national government here. My question directly is going like this. Does the state government have a chance to evaluate any policy?
Okay, okay.
It's between clear. The oil company and the national ministry?
Yeah, it's clear. It's clear. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Maoya, for your question there. Hello?
Yeah.
Yes, welcome.
Good evening, Governor.
Good evening. Who is calling?
You are connected to with the Piang Panidok.
Welcome, Piang.
Yeah, thank you. First of all, I would like to welcome the guests in the studio.
Yeah.
Shadar, you know, this kind of petition is actually good to help the community, but a problem sometimes. You can hear people can be following this kind of cases, and later on, cases can be disappear. I want to kind of ask our guests in the studio, how sure are they that they will implement this and work on this thing to follow it successfully without this kind of bribery and going to alter themselves in other affairs?
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Piang. Panich, hello? Hello?
Hello, Gabriel.
Yes, hello.
أنا براحب بضيوف بتاعك وبيجو برنامج الشيخ اللي انت عملته.
شكرا.
أنا بس في طوالي في سؤال معك كارلو من جديد.
مرحب كارلو.
جابريل انت دريت طبعا النشاط الاقتصادي كويس والنشاط الاجتماعي الموجود هنا كويس. يا تو من الـ three levels of the government is really involved in this process of oil because according to the constitution we have three levels of the government. These three levels of the government, the national government, state government, local government, are the local government seriously involved in this process?
Okay.
Because they are the ones living with the people there. And what is his role
towards
the public, like you and myself and the rest in the studios? Role because you know, in Aka Hokuma. Is the country that the Nazbuzur Bessel, Tijaha Liktisadi, Bejumma Yunzur, the environmental impact towards citizen in that area or in the oil produced areas or states, we should revise our laws. We should revise yani hagadal nawa'ih regulations. Al bikhli shirkat dali ana shirkat dali bazur al grush wa hasendina mwadnin tabanin shuf 1999 lahad al yom 20 sana means two generations are really suffering in these areas. حتى لو ما أعرف ده ما خلاص كان بتاعه بيكون يعني بديزاين سماي برادر. اثنين الناس الأدوكيتس القاعدين هنا وبما فيهم ناس الشاكين وده كلهم يجي يدرك الحكومة بتاعنا بغود جميل جدا بطريقة سلمي علشان ما ينظر إلى مسألة البيئة ده لأنه عندنا مسألة البيئة كان في الولاية ولا في الناشنال ولا في اللوكال جوفرمنت في ناس بتالبيئة هناك كلهم يحاول يشتغلوا علشان ما يعليك على الناس نبيل يا جماعة those are the human beings when we are getting these dollars from these companies we are trying to develop these communities and then now these communities are suffering who are going to develop them. Thank you, my brother Gabriel.
Thank you, Carlos. Carlos, thank you for your input there. Let me take the last caller. Hello? Hello?
Yes, I'm Agil from
Welcome, Agil.
Thank you. I appreciate the topic of discussion. And I also welcome our guest in the studio.
Yeah.
You see, this is a concern that people should really need to talk about. Now, my question to our guest in the studio. What is happening to the community? Okay? Negatively affected. Is it by the oil, by the oil pollution in those areas? And what is his plan to make sure that those community members are also assist, are also helped?
Okay.
What is his plan to make sure those vulnerable people who doesn't know what they're doing? This is the question I also wanted to raise. Thank you.
Thank you, Agil, from WOW. And let me see here if we have... there's a question about humanitarian assistance for the affected, if it has been given there or not. And this John Bech Kulang from WOW said the community around oil field have a right for compensation because the law of negative externality looks like the property right. And Bona Thik Akotlual from Pojo said my question only... call for 2% to the oil producing is still continuing. Will government respond to this? And if not, why should oil companies on distillation relax in trying to resolve the problem on behalf of the government with which is in their contract deals? So these are the questions, and your case is like getting a popular approval from the public, and they're sympathizing with the people in Ruweng, as they are saying that. So I have like the next 10 minutes I will give them to the three of you. And of course, the question of how sure, how confident is coming there, whether the case might not be twisted, you will not be distracted and carried away with other things and forget the case. And also the question about continuing pressure so that the companies and the government works, and also the role of the local governments, whether there is another level of government that can even, because there is a question, why an individual, why a community, not even the local government cannot come in. So let me start with Dadwat and Teji, and then I'll come to Peter, and then I will end with Philip.
Shukran marata nukhra lennas al tarahu asila ana ma bajawab al asilu kulla
khal
al baagale bagay zumula ana bas barakis li mwadu idnin filmiya bi kullu amana وبكله إخلاص وبدون حتر أو كذب من 1999 لليوم اللي هو 2020 مواطنين في روغ استيت ما لغوا حاجة اسمه جنين في المية حكومة جنوب يومتا عدل الدستور وبقاو 5% 2% the state government and 3% for producing communities. Seeing the resumption of the oil in the Ruweng states, they never receive their 3%. Anabasma, you may deal galo for 2% Rosalo La Kumutel Wilaya. Lakin Lasaf Shidid. Aku mau wilayah, maka dari gule syah betau, inu guruj betau kum ana jiptu yauda. Everything is kept as a secret. So, maha fayi haja logo. Even syarikat, syarikat majal petrol kan bamul khadamat ijtamaiya, maha fi. Even kan fayi bugule scholarship, mana drasia, budule mana tegal muntijah, maha fi jana buwudu. Bishilo yal buta nas ma marufin ya umshi bogro yenak in the name of the producing communities. So be kulu amana ma fi nen fi mie masogo ma fi talada fi mie masogo. People are vulnerable. Ma inu ma yahaja.
Yeah, thanks for that. Let me go to Peter Aye.
Yeah, thank you, Shadar. First of all, I thank the callers for their questions. The law is very clear because it has spelled out the roles of the level of the government. We are now talking about the state and the oil producing areas or communities. In fact, they don't have any role in the exploration and the production. The role is at national level. It is the national government to explore and produce the oil. The national government is the one that has entered into joint venture or contract with the international companies. So the role of the state government is to receive the percentage and use it for the interest of the local people, do development, health and education. That is what these 3% and 2% is meant for, and no development is taking place there. The issue of the disappearance of the case, we are established government by the constitution. The issues of disappearance of the files is isolated matters. Yeah. And of course, when it happens, we will know what to do. Someone was saying, what is the effect? The effect is very clear. As we explained earlier, children are being born deformed. There has been displacement of the local population due to the environmental or pollution caused by the production of the oil. So we are confident that whoever has the right will be given. If you don't have the right, then the court will not give that what does not to one who does not deserve it. So this is a legal action. It is not a press statement, and it has to have a conclusion. Either we are right or we are wrong. Mm. So we have confidence, and that's why we have taken legal action, because this is the right, and we are not actually backing anyone. We are saying this is the right of these people, and it should be given to them.
Yeah. Thanks, Peter Aye, for that. Let me come now to Philip Anyang.
I think most questions have been answered.
Yeah.
And especially, I'll just answer the first question that talks of more of how much have you been given, because they ask what will happen to the petition will disappear, nothing may be done over it, and all those things. Mm-hmm. As I mentioned by Peter, that this is a purely human rights issue, and no one wants to see this recur in other states. The question of whoever is following up his matter or his right will not want any deterrence at any point. So we are pursuing this thing legally as it is at the Supreme Court, and we'll ensure that we get to the details, spirit and to the teeth of it. So nothing will be left out. Someone mentioned about humanitarians, the role of humanitarian actors in such situations. We don't speak for the humanitarian world. And if there's anything they are doing over it, yeah, then it's none of it's not in our known now.
Yeah.
The impact of the community, as mentioned by asked by a girl, of course, you've seen that children being born deformed, children being born early, environmental pollution, destruction of the environment, so basically it's a bit compounded, and more of the impacts of the oil pollution have been felt by the communities around, and that's why you've seen the first petitioner as a victim up here challenging for challenging to see this thing be done right by the authorities concerned. Of course, the institution involved the Minister of Petroleum as a main stakeholder in this industry, and ALPED itself also. So these are bodies that are tasked and mandated to check on the affairs of the oil production in South Sudan, and hence they should be held accountable at any stake. It's not happening only your work, and you've seen that it's happening all over every other oil producing in South Sudan, and it's being pursued as they come in, because the most impact now is in Ruweng, and that's why we are here to pursue it and pursue the rights of the victims as provided for under the Constitution.
Yeah. Thanks for this update and also this discussion, because these issues are... this is not like... South Sudan is not unique. We are not the only country that has been producing oil and polluting, but action was taken even in the United States. In everywhere there is oil pollution, action has been taken, and it was been taken by court cases and things. I think nobody should panic, even the government should not panic and worry, say, why going to court? And so this is a normal thing the government failed to address the issue, come to the court, address the issue, and things might be better in the future. Thank you very much, Tejit Adwod, the former governor of Rumang State, former MP and former judge, for being with us here. He's the first petitioner in the case. And Peter Ayed, executive director of Advocates Without Borders, second petitioner in the case. And Philip Anyang, advocate representing the petitioners. And the petitioners are asking the government and oil-producing companies to act and compensate the affected people in the area of Rowing Estate for the oil pollution. Thank you very much for listening to this nationwide discussion program on Radio Mariah. I'm Gabriel Shadar. Thanks for listening.
Nationwide, your daily current affairs program on Radio Mariah.